Hey, that's me. We have the very interesting, controversial Neil Sorna joining us, so you'll want to stick around for the next broadcast. I'll be back momentarily.
From the best and brightest upcoming authors and artists. Tune in to The Tony Kay Show every week, or you can download the free archives right now. For over a decade, Tony has shared the mic with many of art and literature's newest arrivals. Listeners are always welcome to join in the conversation as your emails are read live each show. Do you have an author you think should be on the show? Just let us know. You can email the DJ at artistfirst.com. Meet some fascinating new authors and get some great conversation. Listen live or download on demand. That's The Tony Kay Show, right here on Artist First Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Cool Water, telling you to go out and cop the brand new album, A Good Education Gone Bad, with hot tracks like My Next Door Neighbor and Unlucky Lotto.
There goes my next door neighbor.
Okay, today is your lucky day. You lose your life savings, all you have to do is play. Come on.
And the most controversial song of the year, You Better Buy a Gun. And the female sex anthem, Coochie Power. Yeah, so go and get your copy of the brand new album, Cool Water, A Good Education Gone Bad. That's Cool Water, A Good Education Gone Bad. Cop that, CoolWater101.com. CoolWater101.com. Hop.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
Welcome to Authors First with Tony Kay on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio, thanks for joining us, everyone. This hour, we're privileged to introduce Neil Sorna, no stranger to the Artist First airwaves. I believe she was on first back in 2004. This is, of course, June of 2009, and we're delighted to have her back. She's a fabulous author, writing adult erotica, so it's definitely an adult program tonight. So young years, just keep them away for a while, that's okay. And we know that if you enjoy your erotica, adult fiction, you're going to love our author this hour. For your convenience, we've placed her web link on the artistfirst.com homepage. It's Sorna.com. She's the author of Hobble, H-O-B-B-L-E, and many other interesting works. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. How do you do, Neil?
Hi, how are you? Such a nice intro.
Were you sure I was introducing you?
Yeah, I think it was that me?
Congratulations, Neil. You've been working very hard in the literary field, and now you have a new badge of honor. Your latest book has been banned by authors. I just have to love that. A little tongue-in-cheek there. But certainly, you write controversial-type material. Mm-hmm. You enjoy it and glean a lot of encouragement from others. You also do a lot of work helping other authors with their craft, and I think it's just amazing what you've achieved. You're from Garfield Heights, Ohio, not far from the Artist First Radio Network.
Yeah, my nephew went to.
And we're the home of Mount Union College.
Yes, sir. My nephew went for a while.
There you go. And so it's great that you're joining us from the great state of Ohio, and that we're able to introduce you and your fine works to our audience.
So Ohio First at Artist First.
Yep, that's right. And Neil, wow, you have a long history with Artists First. And I remember reading in PR Web an article you were on with Dolores Thornton, Dr. Maxine Thompson, and of course Tony Kay on Authors First. So you've been around for a while, and you use the internet as your key method of communicating with your audience. And how has the internet really changed in the last 5 years for you, Neil?
There's continual learning. and just absorbing bits and pieces. It's kind of like when you're doing a thing, like you always have the movies with the Indians, or, you know, putting your ear to the ground, you know, whatever it is. It's kind of like where you're kind of not, you have to absorb a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you go, okay, this is the wrong trail, and back up a little bit and go somewhere else. And I like the fact that there's more reach, and, you know, cause it's kind of personal when you're in when you're selling in your immediate area, and then it's kind of like, well, how often can you go to your neighbors and stuff and say, buy your book, you know? But, you know, I have, you know, customers and clients all over the world, so that's, you know, hey, Saudi Arabia, Poland, you know, that's cool.
We should also remind our audience, you do have a warning posted on your website. Mm-hmm. Warning, if you're under 18 years of age and are offended by sexually explicit material, exit now.
Yeah. It's only because everybody, you know, some people, I know my family probably gets tired of hearing, they just kind of need to listen. they know it's going to come out of my face, but I'm just amazed at how much people gripe about everything sexual. And then they let their kids watch something where someone's being beheaded or shot 50 million times in The Matrix. You know? it's like, hey, is your kid 10? What is he doing watching The Matrix? It's an R-rated movie.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, of course.
It's fun violence. It's all about, this is fun sex.
Well, you know, the sexual mores of our society have changed dramatically in the last 2 decades.
Yeah.
20 years ago, of course, you wouldn't even hear a foul word, let alone see someone in bed with someone else. Mm-hmm. And today, of course, it's everyday commonplace. In the soap operas that the ladies and gentlemen watch during the afternoons to the evening programming. So really, with cable, children and adults just have just about anything they want. But as always, if you have a conscience toward these matters, sexually explicit materials, of course, age appropriate for your children, you want to regulate that, and certainly you encourage right off the bat anyone visiting your site. If you're offended by sexually explicit material, then leave my site right now.
Yeah. And actually, I used to work in a movie house. And we used to tell customers, I had one boss, he was a real hard ass, but he was wonderful, and that he used to be a junior high school teacher. And he used to give us this wonderful thing that I said, cool, we had the right to say no to people. Because we actually had people walk in, again, they'll holler at us about that, about, oh, it's sexually explicit, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, I turn people down. I go, you want to take your kid into Silence of the Lambs? We have adults passing out in there. You want to take your kid into, you know, a kindergarten cop. The only thing cute is like the first 10 minutes, and then, you know, people will be having, you know, exploded. But you're going to, but you go, well, I can take my kid wherever I want. It's kind of like, well, I can take him to this other place. Well, I'm sorry to see you go, but bye. Or would you like to go to this other movie? Okay, we'll go to the other movie.
Like, Neil, way back in Tony Kaye's history, while I was in Augsburg, Germany, 1974, 1975, for that year, it was the first time I was exposed to total nudity on the television.
Yeah. Shocking, huh?
And it just goes to show you how the social mores of those in Europe were quite different than those in the United States.
Oh, when I went academic abroad in college, I was walking around Vienna, and I was walking down Front Street, and it was like, good old little Garfield Heights, Cleveland, a girl I am, going to a girls' college at the time. I was like, oh, I think I need to cross the street. I crossed the street, and it was like, I kept on walking, and go, oh my God, that is a, like I said, it is a burly cue. It's, you know, it was a strip joint, but they actually had the pictures outside, and they were uncensored, and I was just like, wow, different. I go, everybody thinks America is so, you know, out there, and it's kind of like, so we're out there in some ways, but, you know, you don't, there's not an American paper that has that, that page 5 or page 3 or whatever it is, like they have in most European papers, where it's always, I don't know, a little kitten or a puppy on one page, and then you flip it over and it's some topless girl.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And that's they're plain dealer, they're press, they're whatever the Alliance paper is, you know.
And they think nothing of it. So.
No, yeah, and it's, and I kind of, and I like that a lot, because people are making too much of stuff, and it's, I go, well, saying no hasn't been, you've been working, you know, that, no, that's proof that it's not working.
You won the BlackRefer.com's Best Erotica Award for your first published novel, Hobble. How has it been going since that time?
It's been selling a little bit here and there. And I've been writing some other things and stuff like that. I kind of slacked off on pushing some stuff, and because I was just trying to organize everything in my head, because I am a one-woman show. Because I write it, I edit it, I lay it out, and typeset it, and send it off to the printer. The only thing I don't do is physically print, and or distribute. But I have it, so I have everything set up so that it's, you know, I do it from my laptop or whatever computer I'm on, and I just upload my stuff to various places, and so they, and it goes, then Amazon or whoever can pull from, you know, the ebook center and the print book center and order the books and stuff. So.
Neil,
right now my new one is just on an ebook. I'm working on it.
In addition to your novels, novellas, you also write short stories, and you've bridged over into screenplays.
Yeah, I went to when I was in college. I went all the way to like a year of grad school, and that's when I was doing film and video studies, and that got me back into writing, because I had always liked writing, but regular school will beat it out of you, because they go, no, that's not the way it is, and, you know, they'll give you all these rules about how some idiot decided that you can't say ain't, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't say, you know, whatever, they as a singular, or whatever it is, you know, all these different rules that aren't true, because if Jane Austen and Shakespeare can use them, then so can I. And I got back into, they got me back into doing screenplays for television and movies and stuff like that. That got me back into the love of writing, and it got me into, my head into the fun of it, of the drama and the characterizations of people and stuff like that, how varied that can be. So, I love it.
Those of you 18 or older, our adult audience, we would invite you to visit Neil's website, www.neale-sourna.com. You can also do a Google search for our author, find lots of interesting things. You also, Neil, have PIE-percept.com.
Yep.
And tell our audience about that website.
It's technically that's my publishing name abbreviated, because it's PIE, because everybody loves PIE. Perception is everything, because that's been a mantra of mine for several years, because, you know, sometimes people are saying things and you go, wow, the only thing that's different is just we're looking at the same thing, we're hearing the same thing, but we're seeing different things, so perception is everything. And as soon as you change that, it's like, oh, okay. And so that's my publishing site. And for those who, if they have kitty locks on their computers or at work and stuff like that, the Pi, the www.pi-percept. That one usually comes up because it's more of a, just a straight, it'll link into the other ones, but at least you can at least go, oh, that's what some of the stuff looks like. Before all the little sensors start coming out and, you know, it's like, I don't have any beheadings or, you know, people exploding or any of that. And actually, I don't really keep pictures because I believe in doing words, using words to get pictures in your mind. So other than the book covers, I don't really have pictures. And my logo, my Pi-percept logo.
Neil, you draw a distinction between romance stories and character love stories, which is how you classify your material. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
I think for me, it's kind of like, and I don't like to really try to say it out loud. I don't want people to get offended. I go, because that was one reason I'm not a person who ever likes to, just the idea of reading what do you consider a romance novel. Because a lot of times it was always that, it's about, you know, well, I always say the idea that you go for like 300 pages and then finally on the last page they kiss. You know, unless they are so into each other, like the TV show Pushing Daisies, which I am still angry about them taking off because of go. Now that for me was romance because it's kind of like in that Twilight thing where the same thing where if these two people touch, you know, mayhem could happen, you know, so, and as opposed to just saying that, you know, you're writing all these things because you're basically writing an older version of a youth novel where you want to say that these people are so in love with each other, but you're not really giving us the character of why they're in love with each other. You're just saying that, oh, so-and-so's a model and so-and-so's a photographer and, oh, they fight all the time. You know, that sort of thing I'm not interested in. But if you're giving me, the thing that, you know, like, you know, every time he gets next close to a model, you know, something, you know, that they're using him to get to further their career too much, and he just gets tired of that, or he just hates, or maybe he's a photographer for models and he hates skinny girls, you know, and what he really wants is, you know, a girl with some meat on her bones. And so it's just a little bit of that just gives a little bit more character. And unfortunately, a lot of things that I've read that, like, whenever I do research, I'll get, you know, your basic book from all the random houses and the Harlequins or whatever, and, you know, because you'll say that this person is the queen of erotica, or this is the person of, just distinguish it, a black erotica, or whatever it is, or African-American, or whatever it is, and they go, oh, you know, and they'll start pulling, and I'll go, and I'll read their books, and I go, oh, but you didn't, for me, it's like they haven't gone far enough, because there's certain books, trying to say things without calling names. where I've seen books have been written where they've, even written by teachers who were like English teachers, and the stories have become famous, and they've made like movies off of them. And I've read the book. I go, okay, let me see what the original source material is. And I go, this was written by an English teacher who knows good and well that if a student handed this same script in, I mean the same text in, he would have given it a C at best. You know, but here it is, you know, it turned into a huge movie and it turned into a huge book, and I'm like, there's this flaw here. You know, you're not going to the deep character of what was the one of the same situation where the guy had a character, they had these middle-aged people, and she was having an affair while her husband was away, but the new guy smoked. So he's in her house and he's smoking, and as a person who does not smoke and as a person who has very hyper sinuses, I'm going, as soon as your husband comes home, he should go, what the heck's been smoking in my house? But that never happens. Well, at least have it say that, he smoked, but he didn't care, which says something character-wise to us of, oh, wow, good thing she had a affair because he doesn't care, you know. So for me, that's the difference. It's kind of like, because, you know, you can write, because everybody has a tendency to think that just because you put sex in it, that you're just putting sex in it just to see two people bump. Or to do whatever, you know, they think sex is. Like, you know, it's kind of like when President Clinton had his problems, and everybody said, we know what sex is. And he goes, oh, he's being funny by defining sex. I go, no, you need to define sex. Because I remember seeing an old movie that was done like in the 60s or something where they were trying to crucify some poor Rican kid because he said he and a white girl were making love. And they were like, oh, you know, dude, you're dead, you know. But it turned out that his idea of making love was holding hands. And that's not really illegal, you know, so to me that's the difference between characters. Sometimes it's just you have a situation and you're doing a sitcom where it's like, you know, we have this generic couple and we're going across the prairie. Same generic couple, and, you know, we changed her color of hair. She's a redhead this time, and now we are, you know, models in Europe, you know. So I like the fact that, you know, your characters are different, that, you know, maybe they're multicultural. I had one that came up, and I ran it past a beautician friend of mine when she was doing my hair. She goes, I never heard anything like that. I go, yes, I have, you know, a story that I'm working on about a couple in, like, the Victorian times. But, you know, she's, you know, an aristocrat, but she's got black blood in her, which can happen because there have been blacks in, you know, England for a long time and in Americas for a long time. And then he is a Native American, but he's, you know, he wears, you know, what other English and American businessmen of the day would wear because he's a rich guy. And, you know, so it's kind of like, well, that's different. And you go, yes. And to me, that's a character thing. Okay. Next question. Or did you go to the bathroom?
Well, you know, this whole idea of sexual mores, sexual mm-hmm. behavior, it's as old as man itself. Even the cavemen drew it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Every artist, writer from the beginning of time has tried to articulate all of the expressions of love, erotica, mm-hmm. interest in the same sex, the opposite sex, multiple partners. You know, there's huge sexual manuals written in various cultures over time.
Yeah, that's the other thing, because it's like, let me write my notes. Because like you said, people have been, you know, writing things, but like you said, like sexual books. Like, but for like the Americans, the first sexual studies was Dr. Kinsey.
Yeah.
You know, that's almost in my lifetime, not quite. You know, but it's in my parents' lifetime. You go, that's the first time anybody studied sex to, you know, get, like, again, I had a friend one time, we were talking, he goes, do you think people talk about sex too much? I go, no, not really. So they talk around it, they giggle about it, they'll make euphemisms about it, like that bubbling uglies and stuff like that. Well, how negative is that? You're bubbling uglies, but aren't two bodies, you know, pretty, you know? but you know, again, there is, I don't want to act like whatever is the new generation is bringing something hideous and, you know, and horrible by mentioning it or by saying certain words, and it's like, and then you find out, if you go back in the history of certain words, and it's like, well, that was a generic word for a woman. Now, that was a generic word for having sex or something like that. That was not meant as a slang. In my lifetime, you know, people have said feminist, and they have used it as a, you know, as a curse word, as a feminist, you know, like, you know, like you rub crap on your face or something. It's kind of like, okay, I don't do that. You know, this is a good thing that I want, you know, women to have equal rights and, you know, have money and stuff like that. But like I said, through time, like I've been working my way through the DVDs for the show Rome, and I'm sure tons of people have sat there and go, oh, they just did that so they could put all the sex and the stuff like that in there and that weird super violence. And it's like, no, that's the time period. I go, there's, but again, because I've been doing that, and I was doing some research for somebody else, doing a translation. What's a translation? Sir Francis Bacon translation of all things. Because he's spoken Shakespearean English, so I've been working on it to make it contemporary English so people can understand it. And but he makes tons and tons of classical references, which is the education of the time.
Absolutely. And you know, so this is a part of our normal cultural development,
mm-hmm.
to be able to express ourselves in this fashion. And, of course, the gay rights movement, transsexuals, all of that is out in the open in a way it never was 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So our society has become open to the fact that people have different sexual needs and interests.
But then everybody assumes very easily, especially, I don't know if that's totally universal, but, you know, as an American, it's very easy to see in Americans that we have a very small window of memory, which is just our nature to a certain extent, and because of the fact that we really haven't been around that long. And so they'll always think that, oh, like the thing where people always make a big deal, well, it's not a two-person family. People have never had a two-person family. People weren't raised by their parents, you know. I'm part of the baby boomer generation, the tail end of that. And we were like the only people forever who were raised by our parents. Before that, people, like my parents talked to my mother or the mother before that. It's kind of like they were, when they were at home, and the person you talked to all the time was their grandparents. And because the parents are young, they're busy, they're out making, they have to go out and make money and stuff like that, and so they're usually staying with the parents and stuff like that. And so, but people have a tendency to think that, it's always been. And so, like, with the sex and thing like that, they're thinking the same thing, that this certain quarantines for certain things have always been, the thing, the Rome thing, because they were talking about, because that's one thing I like, because I like to go into, like, Wikipedia or whatever encyclopedias I can get my hands on and get, a little bit more information about that time period, because like that, in the Roman period of the late Republic and, into the imperial period, you get people who are like, you get a girl who's already been married. She's been married since she was 12, 13 years old. So again, you're going to stop and talk about sex? She's already had sex, because you married her off at 12 years old. And in England, in, Henry VIII's day, that was the same thing. They would marry a girl off that she's, the new queen is going to be 12 years old, and the new, king is 15. And, so right there, and you start getting into that now thing where, we keep... postponing adolescence, you're not an adult until you're, 18, or not an adult until, you first of all, 16, then it was 18, now it's, 30 pretty much, where, you can't do anything, and it's just, all that sort of thing, I like to put in the writing, because it's kind of like, everybody assumes that, like I was thinking on the show Rome, where they were saying something, I go, oh, wait a minute, they're just kind of putting it out there as an insult, but if you think a little farther, because of the fact that I have been doing some research in that time period, when they put a nasty picture of somebody going down on somebody else, for them, that was like the ultimate ew, because, then they're thinking that, oh, that's almost like you've been, kissing somebody's butt or eating out of a toilet, so, and nobody should want to talk to you or kiss you later, and so that was a really huge insult, and now it's like we kind of talk about it, but, it doesn't really have that flavor of, they will lock the door and not let you in, which they would have done in those days. So I like the fact that, I like the fact that you have to see how people see things differently. Or like I said, I just find it fascinating, in the English period, in the 1800s alone, when Victoria first got in there, the sexual consent age was 8. If you were an 8-year-old child, you could say yes and, prostitute yourself, and nobody could arrest you for that. And, or you could, whatever, get married. And then later on, because they're industrializing and they're starting to, move things up and from away from farming and stuff like that, then the age moves up to 13. So like in my book, I know that the girl is 13 because she's, that's the age limit that, she can consent and say, yes, if you want a mistress, I could be your mistress, and nobody can say anything about it. And nowadays, it's kind of like, people are saying, oh, you're an adult. I go, yes, but you're confusing. And with the Internet, I've noticed that they've been consolidating it to American standards, which is that thing of saying, pretending that the age of consent and being of age as an adult to do legal things, which was different when I was a little younger, and now it's they're basically condensed into one thing, so that they're almost, people are saying that, well, you can't say or look at sexual things or whatever it is until you're 18, and that's and if you actually go through the statutes of most places, in the United States or Ohio or wherever, it's going to be, you go, oh no, that limit's like 16 or 15 or something like that, but you can't legally do any papers or legal papers until you're 18, and you can't drink until you're 21, which people really find amazing. So, okay, but I can kill somebody and be drafted, at 18, so that's good.
Neil Sorna, our guest on Authors First with Tony Kaye. Questions, comments, feel free to send them to dj@artistfirst.com. You can also correspond directly with our guest by visiting her website, www.neale-sorna-sorna.com. And I think it's wonderful that you have taken this to a new level in the sense that you research, you know the historical periods and mm-hmm. the sexual mores and how they've changed and so forth, and you're really serious about the subject. It's very similar to those who work in the area of pornography.
Yeah.
They're serious people. They're actors, actresses, and they're well-versed and studied in their art. And they have, many of them have very conservative personal lives, devoted to their spouse, to their mate, perhaps children, and have a faith, you know, Christian values or other religious values that they cherish and hold on to while they work in those arenas.
Yeah, because for some bizarre reason, people always, there's always that aura of when people mention the sex thing and you say it in that, oh, you do that, you know, or whatever, and it's kind of like, you know, that's why one of my, like in Hobble, I did a little test page, so when you open the book, the very first page is a little bit of text from the story, so it's kind of like, this is what the story is about, you know, this will, or should I say, this will be in there. And this is a very, this is a triple X page, and it's a very, very first page, so that you can't say that I enticed you in and I told you this wonderful story. But go, we will have this wonderful story about real people, but, you know, I don't want that saying that you get all surprised and it was the most horrible thing. But like I said, things change, and, you know, even in my lifetime, I like, actually I've been toying with the long idea for a long time. For, it's just like there should be a class. But maybe I'll just, I'm thinking I'll just probably do a book because I'm a very fiction person because I like, because of that, because of the fact there's so much stuff and it's, people get really antsy about it. So I like to put it in a fiction so it gives people a chance to step back and they can get into the characters, but they won't have to feel that it's so personal that I'm talking about them. So that the fact that I have my first nonfiction book out, I go, oh, it's like, oh, that's why I put the new Stinger book out because it just gets. Because, again, it's stuff that people are talking about, but you guys obviously are doing it wrong. So I'm not saying that I'm doing it right, but here's a reference of stuff that I pulled from everybody else. And I put some, and I gave you some history, and I gave you whatever. Because that's another book I've been thinking about doing as a book. And it's in the idea of, like I said, a lot of people do get their sexual stuff from television, from movies. And I just find it fascinating because people are saying, well, like now, like I said, the very first person I ever heard on television say bitch was, what's his name, Peter Jennings on the evening news talking about Leona Hensley. And I was, in a sense, still am. I go, good Lord. I go, if he had said, you know, the president was a dick, you wouldn't say that, you know, or whoever, the president of such and such a company, you wouldn't say that. But, you know, but again, it was all sorts of flavors of, it was a word that you're not supposed to say, and then it's, you know, people are derogatory to females in the first place, even to the point of calling them females as opposed to women, you know, so it's kind of like, anyway, but they're doing that where they're saying things, and like, you know, it's like pretty much everything on that list of George Carlin of words you couldn't say, and there is no list because nobody would ever really give him a list. And you have to kind of assume that maybe this word or that word, like I said, the title of my new book, whether that's one of the words. And but I always find it interesting. I go, yes, but like I was telling my nephew the other day, I go, no. When I was a kid, the movies, like now they're calling them romance comedies or romantic comedies. I go, when I was a kid, when I think about it, they were actually sex comedies. They were calling them sex comedies, sex romp. Cause I know, because we were listening to some hip-hop songs, and he goes, that word that, he goes, and he never heard the word before because he always bleeped it on the radio, and he goes, the word that he bleeped out of there was sex. I go, whatever. He goes, yeah, they made him change it to love. I go, well, that just changes the whole content of the song and misses the point. You know, it's kind of like, but, or, what is it, I was talking to a Hollywood writer about the movie Zorro the Gay Blade. And I go, no, on our local affiliate, instead of, and I had seen the movie at the movie, so I knew what the person was saying, he had bleeped out Brenda Vaccaro saying, I want to get into his pants. So all you heard was, I want to get into his, and it's like, oh my God. And the guy goes, that's much worse. I go, yes, it is. Because you're going, because, you know, my mind is going, wow, what could that be? Get into his what? Because I wouldn't even think about his clothes. You know, so I was like, okay, that just gets worse. And but you know, as a kid, it's like, you know, you have these movies like all, pretty much anything that Shirley MacLaine ever made. So that's all that Irma LaDuce, where she was a prostitute, and you know, and that was the whole movie was about her. It's named after her. And or this one where she was running around with with Dean Martin, and she was wearing nothing but high heels and a towel. And said, now it's like, you know, but they were keeping that idea that sex is fun and that they're adults and they can do sex and stuff like that, and you know, and you have, you know, but now it's like every movie that's supposed to be a romantic comedy is actually pretty juvenile, and it's always about, you know, somebody gets some semen stuck in their hair, you know, or whatever. So yeah, it's funny, but it's kind of violent and icky. He zipped himself up in his pants. Yeah, it happens, but, and you know, and it's like we're laughing at it, but. You know, if that kind of stuff didn't happen to Dean Martin, he didn't zip himself up in his pants, you know, because you know, he was cool, you know, and, you know, Steve McQueen didn't have those problems, and, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, but then, yeah, the whole thing that Sidney Poitier, I don't think he even got a chance to even do those kind of movies because, you know, that's another subtopic of, you know, we're cutting the sex out of the black people and any other Native Americans or whoever and Asians and stuff like, they don't get to do those movies. So, but that, all that history, that kind of stuff is in my head, and I had somebody one time I was talking to her, and she goes, everything that you experience, everything that you study and stuff like that goes into your writing. And it was kind of weird because she was somebody who really doesn't know me, but she analyzed it right. I go, wow, that's pretty cool. I go, you know, you're actually right. And that's what I write.
Your latest book is Cunt Singer, mm-hmm. CuntSinger. Mm-hmm. The website, www.cuntsinger.com. And, of course, the name has raised some controversial questions and eyebrows. Cunt Singer, She'll Never Say No Again. And it's all about giving head oral sex and so forth, giving women orgasms of continuous joy. You've had quite a good time with this subject.
Yeah, that's one of those things because, like, again, you're raised in, you know, a certain society that you know, and you don't have to go far to know that people are encouraging you not to enjoy yourself, encouraging you not. You know, people encourage you to eat more, which is probably why another reason why we have so many people who are huge. It's not because they love it, but because it's rather food is, that's another subject of mine, because food is fast, and it's not even fast. People are talking about fast food. Go, no, I was raised on fast food. I used to work at a job where I ate nothing but fast food. I went on vacation for like 2 weeks one time. All I ate was fast food. I ate McDonald's and Burger King like every day. You know, that was breakfast and lunch, 'cause I would take a spare one home, and it's kind of like, and I lost weight. Some of it I was walking around, but it's just not, you know, it's the, you know, you're microwaving, oh, I need a steak. You know, so it's kind of like in 5 minutes you have a steak. You know, it's like, oh, and I'm still hungry. I want, you know, I need a pie. You know, so I think that's more of it now. And for this, I wanted, you know, to get some stuff, you know, just pull some of the research that's out there, because, you know, it's just research and research, and I go, oh, well, put this in there and put that in there, and go, oh, we don't need that. And just go through, and because, you know, it's, if you do a computer search, internet search, it's one of the biggest things that people search about cunnilingus. And it's kind of like, so I was going to write about something else, and I go, oh, wow, a lot of people need to, they're asking a question about this. I go, well, this was on my list of things to do. I guess I'll bump it up to number one. And I have a bunch of books that, you know, I got from whatever used to be, they don't have the club anymore, was the love book club or whatever. If you no longer have it, it got absorbed by another book club. And so I actually have tons of, you know, actual book references, and I pull those out, and I paraphrase from now and those, and I actually put in some of my own fiction stuff that's just about cunnilingus. Matter of fact, I once went on I was at a seminar, a convention, and again, it was that older thing. It was that thing of that bizarre, stale thought that, well, you're writing about sex. Well, what can you write about? Okay, but does that mean that you had your wedding night and then you never had sex again? Because, you know, duh, you did it once. You know, it's kind of like, but you write romance novels, and, you know, romance, you know, it's the same thing. It's who you are, and, you know, and you're not the same every day, so every day it's going to be different. And I like try to put that in the book that, you know, a lot, you know, it's good to make somebody else happy. It's good to kind of chill out and relax, and because a lot of that is with the sex thing too. It's like people say that you can't, you're not supposed to do it, and then they don't want to teach you anything useful about it because you don't need that information, and then you never get that information. And when you get that information, it's always, you know, it's in a hurry, and it's, you know, it's, you know, it's just a bizarre thing. It's a sex is a physical activity. Now, any other physical activity, nobody complains about you getting proper education and practicing it. You know, they make you write over and over again, you know, oh, you know, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. So you can make really good O's and ones, you know, and it's like, you know, oh, your twos are a little sloppy. Go back there, Sandra, and, you know, I mean, go back there, Neil, and do that over again. And, but then, you know, with sex, it's kind of like, you're not supposed to practice, you're not supposed to do it, you're not supposed to touch yourself. You know, you say, I can't practice with myself, and I can't practice with somebody else, and then maybe I got bored by myself. And here I can bring joy to somebody, because if you go through the books I have, and, it, you know, it's like book after book, you know, from different people, people who are married, people who aren't married, who people who are, you know, whatever, they, you know, they date everybody, or people who only date one person, everybody comes down to the same thing, that they do the stats. Women are unhappy. I go, yeah, you get these old ladies who are like, my parents' age, and, you know, they're old, and they're like, they've been married for, you know, decades and decades, and then you find out that they never enjoyed sex. Like, my mother always said that when she was talking about, oh, she doesn't really like people being naked. I go, oh, they're unattractive, and I was thinking the other day, I go, so I wonder if she would think she was unattractive, but I never asked her that, so I think it's, and right now it's kind of like, it probably wouldn't be a good question. But again, it's like, you know, if, you know, because nobody cared if women were unhappy or not for the past several thousands of years, and, you know, which, you know, again, you go through the time periods, and it's kind of like, no, we will be marrying you off to so-and-so, and you don't need to know about sex, and the fact that you're 10, 12 years old, and we're marrying you off, and you'll probably drop dead from having a kid at, you know, age 13, you know, or the fifth kid by, you know, from 13 to 8, you know, for 18, because you get one every year, or, you know, all that sort of thing of, any other thing you know, if you're over farming, you know enough not to over farm your land, or you end up with a dust bowl like we had in the 30s. But you're stupid enough to have sex every year without, you know, with condoms, which have been around for hundreds of years, you know, or with other methods of not getting pregnant. And you're going to sit there and go, so that's supposed to be some kind of religious punishment that you have to have sex, but you're not supposed to enjoy it. And you're supposed to be pregnant every year. And if you happen to drop dead, he can always get a replacement. You know, so it's kind of like, oh, okay, that sounds pretty, it sounds bitter. But, it, you know, but that's the idea. It's like, you're never supposed to enjoy it. And it's kind of like, oh, come on, this is 21st century. Can't we finally enjoy some sex? Can we finally enjoy, you know, being relaxed and together and actually like being together, as opposed to that you're all stressed out, you're all tensed. You know, he wants to do it again, or she wants to do it again, or we have to do the same thing, and we, you know, it's always in the same position, and it's always this boring thing. So, and my cunt singer was kind of like, it's kind of like, okay, we're gonna take one subject. Everybody's interested in cunnilingus, so we're gonna teach you how to give head properly. You know, because it's, you know, everybody's asking about oral sex, and you know, I kind of feel it's like, and the point of that is not just to do it, you want her to be happy, you want her to actually, you know, have an orgasm, because, you know, for generations women have said, you know, orgasm, what's that? You know, and people will explain it, and they go, I've never had that, and you go, but you've been married for 50 years. Yeah, go figure, you know, and maybe she's been married to more than one husband, and again, go figure, nobody cared, and so, and the guys were, you know, and then the guys were asking, you know, sometimes you get guys who are asking, and, you know, a lot of guys are asking, and again, you know, asking your friends, you know, that's not helpful, and, you know.
Neil, you had a lot of fun with words.
Oh, yeah.
Do you provide a reference to help the reader understand some of the terminology you use?
Yes, I tried to, I did a lot of footnotes. Which is why it's taken me a while. I have another version of format of this ebook, but it's taken me longer to do the footnotes, because There's two original ones. It's easier. It was easier to do a footnote to it. If there's a complicated word, even the word cunnilingus, there's a footnote for that. Because it's kind of like, hey, we've been talking for a while. Because, again, people always assume with sex, like, they know what they're talking about. And it's kind of like, no. And sometimes I was like, hey, I have no idea what this is. Because I'm like, I was pulling reference notes, and it was kind of like, you know, you stop and you go, do I read? Like people said that, like, said with President Clinton, you go, sex. You go, what is sex? And you go, what is? I go, I love that. I go, I've always had a fascination with words. I go, no, because, you know, because, like I said, one person's sex or one person's romance is, well, that's, you know, it gets into that, well, what is your culture? What is, you know, where people are thinking, well, the body parts, the parts are there. But then you get into the things like now, like, so, okay, you're having cunnilingus, but then maybe the girl you're with is from a country where they gave her a severe, circumcision, and which means that everything that you think is down there isn't there. And she might not, you know, so she's not going to feel the same, it's not going to feel the same to her as it does for somebody else who's never had that problem, you know. So you might need to discuss that or, you know, work out some problems, you know, or go to a doctor for that. So I, you know, put references, you know, to at least address that fact. And to, if there's, like, old terminologies, they came up with some old words that, you know, because everybody has slang. So they came up with some old slang from back in the old days of, you know, gamma hoochin, good old poontang. That always resurfaces from somewhere. I had to look that up. I go, okay, it's supposed to be French. Okay. And as opposed to somebody's name in some movie, Bubble Boy, good old Bubble Boy. So, and I used the term singer because I just, you know, again, singing is usually enjoyable. And as a person who took singing and who can sing fairly well, it's, people think it should be hard. I go, well, it can be hard, but it, you know, when you're really happy, when you're in the zone and it's running and you're just like, even if you are singing off key and, you know, but it's good, you know, it's like you're feeling good and the other people are going, oh, it's like some of the talent shows we're having on television. It's kind of like, you go, that person doesn't really sing that well, but I love him. You know, it's like Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire, I thought he was a horrible singer. I go, and Gene Kelly, I go, no, you guys are really good singers because you sing the feeling. You sing the song because the song is about, I'm in love, but I'm a little bit hesitant, or whatever it is, and they're singing that, as opposed to someone who, like on American Idol or some of these other shows I've been singing, where they just frustrate me to death because of the fact that they're trying to sing super, 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 and it's kind of like, yeah, but you're not singing a song. The song's not that kind of a song. You just need to sing the words and actually mean them. You know, it's the difference between one of those old-time stage performances of, I'm overacting, and you know, everybody knows that Captain Kirk kind of thing, and the things where you have somebody really subtle and they don't even say anything, and you can just see it on their face because television or movies bring you in that close. That, you know, the subtle differences, because those in any words, because every word has more than one meaning, and you find out that every person has a different meaning. You know, what that meaning means to them. That sounds really weird. I'm trying to tell. Anyway, but that's the point. It's just like, you know, like I said, people, they take a lot of things for granted. They take, you know, orgasms for granted. And it's like, you know, for guys, it's always been traditionally easier. But for women, it hasn't because, you know, people have always discouraged and not taught women anything. And here it is. There's something you guys can do together and explore together and have fun together. And if you don't do it perfectly, you have fun and do it some more, you know, because it's like eating. Just because you didn't really like, you know, chicken today, it doesn't mean you're not going to try, you know, a hamburger tomorrow. I mean, it's still on the same plate, and you're still working it.
Neil Sorna, you are a sexually explicit writer, and you're not afraid to just say it like it is. Mm-hmm. This latest book, Cunt Singer, has gotten you into some trouble with your writer's group. What are they objecting to?
I don't know. They totally shut down. They go, I was signing into, what was I signing into? I found something else from another, from like Writer's Digest that was really interesting. And I go, oh, I probably should give that to the group. And I went to sign on a group, and I got this notice that just said that you've been banned, and it's like forever. And basically, and it's kind of like, I go, well, maybe I'll click on and see if I can, you know, ask them what I got banned for. And actually, I think what it is that I did post, the last thing I posted was a clip that I would be doing this, I would be doing this interview. Tony K, you got me banned, man. And that, you know, and I put the full title because that, and I thought about it later, go, and I had cut down everything else, and I go, oh, you know what, your full title probably screwed, you know, probably screwed their brain out. I go, that mule sword is cunt singer, cunnilingus, how to give head, oral sex, and eating pussy for giving women orgasms a cuntlicious joy. That probably right there just, but I probably, when I got to the first C word, that, and he probably went, and I go, yeah, but, you know, because I've kind of had problems with that before because I work in, sometimes doing writing for other people at Elance and Guru. Girls, cool. They don't care. But Elance, for some reason, they always go into this thing of, you know, if you say that you want somebody to write a manual for you about, you know, a sexual activity like this, if you say I need a book about cunnilingus, you'll get thrown out. It'll be the same thing. You'll get banned out. And it's kind of like, and again, it's like. And you get these people that go, well, you know, I say, yeah, they could say that it's on their site, but again, it's like the 10 dirty words or 7 dirty words of George Carlin. They won't say that. You can't say this word. You can't say that word. It just always kind of says, if you are too explicit about saying that, in the explicitness of saying, I want a sex manual about enjoying sex, bleep, you get bleeped out. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes it does, and then sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it does, and it's just like, well, can you be consistent? Can you just say that, don't say it this way, or something? And it's just like, I don't understand that. And when I say my complaint back, and people go, well, that's just ridiculous, and that's how I feel about the sex, I go, well, I personally, and I really do, I get offended when people always write in that I want a writer to write, my book, a book about Christian ethics or about Christian love or Christian ethics or whatever it is, and I only want a Christian. And it's like, what's the study thing? I, you know, I've taken, you know, philosophy and other Christian studies, and we have ministers in the family and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, how dare you tell me that you just need a Christian thing about, you know, what somebody's a Christian. You say, well, we, you know, occasionally some people say, well, I need a Christian stuff. Or what is the other one that always bothers me? People and their animals. It's the... And I have done a dog book for somebody with dog training, and I thought that was pretty cool. Because I go, oh, I'll learn about dog training, and I can put in some stuff about training my dog. And, but again, it's just like, it's like tons and tons of that. And so I go, oh, and it's almost like, you know, and, you know, it's like thing after thing about, you know, why don't you just have a separate thing just for dogs, you know, and cats and, you know, feeding your fish. You know, it's kind of like, especially with the dogs and the cats, or especially with the dogs, because it's just like people are just incessant with that. And it's like, I go, to a point, depending on how they're asking about it, it can be, you know, very, you know, you go, that can't be right. It's kind of like when the people are saying about the gay marriage and all that kind of stuff. I go, yeah, I don't see any problem. Because the first thing I always go to is, like, as a child, I remember seeing people, you know, giggling about they were marrying their cat and their dog. How bad means that you have respect for marriage, you know. And you actually wrote out a little, you know, faux certificate, and you actually had a minister of some sort, or a faux one, or I don't know what, you know, and you had a little marriage ceremony for your dog and your cat, which is like cross species, which is another matter altogether. Or another one, which was, I've heard of women who, or, you know, people who were married, where they were married to a corpse because they were, you know, like there was a famous woman DJ, her daughter's fiance died, and they married them together, and I was like, how can you marry a corpse? It was kind of like, I had to like, kept looking up, because again, I'm fascinated by the words, you go, okay. And, you know, and it was some kind of, whatever you call that, is where you do it by proxy. That was the first time I had ever seen the word, phrase by proxy, and I had to look up the dictionary and go, what the hell does that mean? And it's kind of like, or whatever I said as a young kid, as, you know, under 10 or whatever, go, what the heck does that mean? And you go, oh, okay, you can marry a corpse again? That can't really be legal, but she actually went to court for it, and he said it was okay, and now you're going to say that to people who are regular adults who want to do that. I don't understand what the problem is. It's a business contract. Then again, for the history thing, you go start getting into, well, it's a religious thing. Goes, no, it's not, because if you go back into history, people weren't getting married like that. They weren't, you know, some churches actually frowned on it. You know, they frowned on it a lot. That's why they didn't want their priest to be married. Everybody else's priests were being married. And then, you know, it's kind of like, and again, you know, step, you know, abstaining from sex isn't working for them, you know, or the and having sex because the other people are married isn't working. So, again, it's kind of like, can't we just take all the sex and put it on the plate and, you know, we'll you know, some things you'll just kind of keep away, but, you know, and you might mention it, but you know, but the basic stuff is just like, can't we just get it out there and talk about the real thing as opposed to making up euphemisms and giggling and not nod, wink, wink, saying that we understand what we're saying. Well, what's that the phrase that people always say? I always say, you know what I mean. You know, and go, you know what I'm talking about. I go, no, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. If you want to say it, just say it. So, yeah, in my books, I do that. It's like, I don't like to say that. And then, you know, the door closed and blah, 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 blah. I usually say exactly what it is. And, you know, with some characters, they're a little bit more reserved. Or like in Hobble, it's like actually as explicit as that is, with one character, the girl, she has, you know, she for the main guy, it's like those scenes are oh, that's sex point by point, you know, and how they're feeling and what it means to them, because that's a character development from, it's the same as a musical where you have the songs explaining how they feel, and for them the sex is how they feel. And so if they're having angry sex, they're angry right now. If they have it, oh, this is, oh, my God, this is transcendent sex, you know. And then, but the other person who it was kind of foul and she didn't like it and it was kind of creepy, but, you know, and or she kind of felt sexual, but she still didn't want to do it or whatever it is, Those, if a person goes through Hobble, they'll actually find out that those scenes aren't mentioned. I mean, they're mentioned, but they'll say that, you know, I'll say that, you know, they were seen, but the door closed. Then you get into the door closed, or more specifically, the lead character, he started thinking about something and go, oh, my God, this is reminding me of such and such. And by the time he gets back to the scene, they've had sex and they're done. So there's people have a tendency to think that you're just making stuff to say it stuff. And it's like, no. He said, you know, it's, again, it's the way one person, like Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was the first actor I noticed who, when he runs as Indiana Jones and the way he runs as Han Solo are two different runs. And I go, that's interesting character-wise. Because you would think, hey, it's the same guy. He would run the same. And that most actors are like that. But you get a really good actor. Or I'm a big fan of Keanu Reeves because I've been going through his character. Because I was using him as a character for something. And I started going through his movies, and you start with his movies, and you start going through, and you go, okay, the way he walks in Bill and Ted, I go, that wasn't him, that's a character, because if you see the movie before that, and you see the movie after that, the way he moves, the way he talks, is different, and that's the same thing with the sex and stuff like that. If people say, no, the way people have sex is characterized, you know, if they're turning off all the lights, and they're afraid to look at each other, they're having it under the cover, that says a lot, as opposed to people who are going, oh, let's turn on some lights and, oh, take all those clothes off, you know, let's see everything. So.
Neil, the Internet, of course, has changed the way we access information, especially explicit materials. You have a LinkedIn site as well as a MySpace account.
Yeah, I just got the LinkedIn, yeah.
What's been the response to your material via the Internet?
I'm not making a huge living yet, but I'm living. And because I'm not doing, I'm not doing a regular day job where I go to someplace else. I sit at my computer on my internet, you know, sometimes on my dial-up and sometimes on the other. And I work for my guy in Poland working on his, I should mention that. I've been working on some games. And it's a romance game that I did called Heart Wild, and by Orchid Games in Poland. We did number one, and it's been really once. It's a solitaire game. You put it on your computer and you play solitaire, and each blurb has a story section. And then when you place, you know, and went to the next level, then you get the next part of the story of this couple. And I did another one for called Margrave Manor for a guy in England, and I'm working on number two. Just finished number two section for that. And again, it's, you know, one of those point-and-search mystery games. But again, I'm working for people who are in us, and I have a regular client in Australia where I write stories for her that are, you can link to from my site. And I, like for her, I did like I wasn't intending to be that, but I ended up with this couple called Becca about, you know, this, you know, pirate and this lady. And basically it's a novel by short stories. And and turning that into a regular novel, because there's just so much more information that hasn't happened, and I'm doing everything I do for making my own books is just, I do it on my computer. It never, I might print it out every now and then, but, and then I just shoot it, I shoot it from my computer to, Ingram's Lightning Source, and they get it out so that you can order it at, Barnes & Noble or any place online, and if I do a print version, again, you can, go to, your nearest walk-in bookstore and say, hey, Neil Sorna has a book out. Can you find it for me? And if they say no, they're lying. Because I specifically went to a company that puts out everybody else. They put out Stephen King and everybody else, so they can put out, they can access mine. And everything I do is on the Internet.
Neil Sorna, thank you. The time has just flown by. Thank you so much for supporting the arts on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kaye in the studio. It's been my privilege to introduce you and your material to our worldwide audience. Have a great time. We look forward to your return in the future.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me, Tony. It's always a joy with you.